Coaching as Benevolence, a podcast for people who are curious about using coaching for self-development. I'm Erin with Roots and Wings Grief and Loss Coaching.
And I'm LaShawn with Michelle Sage Place Positive Intelligence Coaching.
So today, LaShawn and I thought it might be interesting to really dive deep into questions and the questions we ask as coaches, as well as just questions maybe we've been asked in our own personal lives that have grown our self-awareness and our understanding of ourselves, and maybe have even helped us become more kind and compassionate in the way that we are as human beings. Because coaching is such a significant part of our lives, we wanted to talk a little bit more about some of the skills that we rely on as a coach, and having both been trained through various coaching programs, even though we were trained differently, one of the key values and key ways of being as a coach that we have embodied in our work is how we ask questions in a meeting and the types of questions that we ask, which tend to be open-ended, which tend to be curious and powerful. We're looking for questions that might get at the root of things that are being said and what is not being said. Again, this doesn't only come up in coaching appointments. This comes up in our own personal lives as well. So LaShawn, do you have a question that someone asked you either in your personal life or a coach or a counselor that really transformed your way of thinking?
I had a mentor, as I call her my first life coach. She would always ask me when I would go to her and I would say, this thing is happening, I'm really upset, or I don't feel good about myself. She would always ask the question, what are you afraid of? This is such an important question because it brings to mind that you are in fear mode. And often when we are feeling frustrated, upset, disappointed, angry, we are operating from a place of fear. So when she asked the question, and she would always ask this question, I would send her this long email about all of the things that were going wrong in my life. And she would just ask me this question, what are you afraid of? And understand that whatever you're afraid of might not be as bad as you think. So that to me is a go-to question whenever I am looking at a situation with a negative lens. I ask myself, okay, what am I afraid of? So that's a very important and powerful question that has almost always helps me become aware of, the stance that I'm taking. Am I looking at this from a place of love, or am I looking at this from a place of fear? How about you, Erin?
I like that question a lot. And I like that question being used by a mentor. And it can also be used really well in a coaching appointment. And then in a, friend to friend situation to really get at the nuance of what's going on. And tying that to love, that reminds me of a question that I've received. And I've received it in various ways and maybe not said as directly as this, but it really resonates with me in this way. Where is love showing up for you in your life right now? That question has been really powerful in various capacities in my life because it helps me take a look at things, maybe not just so close to me, but even, much further away where love is showing up in my life, whether that is in nature or maybe in a book or all these other ways to maybe access love when it feels like it cannot be accessed on the human level. And it might feel really heavy sometimes, especially in grief. So finding ways for love to show up and find that beauty and just have that reminder that it is there and it brings in so much goodness to our lives too. So then, a follow-up question is just that, how does it bring goodness to your life? That sort of thing. And so I guess I just went from one question to the other and I was curious about my own speaking and asked that question. And that's, another thing that we do as coaches, right? We listen really well to ask questions that bring more meaning and more nuance to the individual so they can have a broader understanding of themselves to make the changes they want to make in their lives. And I guess that's another thought that I have on coaching. Coaching is about making shifts, whether they're really small or really large in one's life, and maybe one's outlook, in one's way of being. So LaShawn, have you had a question that really jump-started the change process for you?
Often what jumpstarts change processes for me is the why question. So for example, why is this important? Or related to the why question, having to do with purpose, say, you know, like what about this is important to you as opposed to a why? Because often when we have a why question, we do tend to get defensive. Like we have to defend what we're doing. So it helps to say, you know, what is important to you or what is important about this that's bringing up? Usually it comes up when there's some strong or maybe even difficult emotions around the topic or around the situation, where I've had coaches or healers ask me the question, the why question. It's so important. It's what can motivate us as well when we can go to the why, like, why am I doing this particular thing? Or what is important about this particular thing? So when I'm able to tap into my purpose and my desire to do something or my desire to bring something about in my life, it fuels my resolve and it also rejuvenates me. So I would say the why question is a very important question that has led to significant growth. And also it fuels my actions, and it gives me a sense of fulfillment when I can go back to my why. So when I'm frustrated, when I don't see the results I want to see right away, I can go back to that feeling that, you know, how if I am more present or if I really work on my positive mindset, these wonderful things are going to happen in my life. And then I can go back to those feelings, going back to what you said about where do you see love showing up in your life? I can go back to that result, that what I'm looking for. So then I can go back to working, doing the work, continuing the practice. Because when I can go back to my why, it fuels my actions. How about you, Erin?
Yes, I like that you nuanced why can be a bit challenging in some ways because it can feel defensive, but it also can be very powerful. Mm-hmm. And that I agree with and has come up a lot in my training as well, that idea of why sometimes when it's a well-timed question in a coaching appointment can be the most powerful question, even though it's one word. One thing that I like to, just because I do like to brainstorm and I like creativity, is the question of how could things be different? And so it kind of takes a little bit of the pressure off in the moment of me feeling like I have to make substantial changes and just really starting to think about what options are there and what could be different. And anytime there's like a could be in my mind, I see it as this kind of open framework to explore more creativity and more brainstorming. And so that fits my style, that fits my values, and the way that I think about things and the way that I process information. I wouldn't say necessarily that's always the most effective question for other people or for everyone, right? But it is one that I like to engage with because it gives me a chance to verbalize or write about or share ideas on how things might shift for myself before I start engaging with what I really want to do to make a change. So for me, just really interrogating what could be different can be helpful. So some of these questions are helpful in coaching appointments. Some of them are really personal. LaShawn, do you have a question you've asked as a coach in a coaching appointment that you saw maybe in the client this aha moment or a big kind of just like lighting up in the room?
One thing that I find, like, if my client in a session is talking about something, they're telling the story of their situation or what they're going through, and they start to show emotion. For example, they start crying, or their voice goes up, or they show a lot of passion when they're talking. I then share my observation. I say, "Oh, I noticed that, that there's some emotion there, that you're welling up. What's that bringing up for you?" And that allows them to go deeper into the moment so that they don't just gloss over the fact that that something has shifted in them. And so asking that question, "What's that bringing up for you?" allows them to go deeper into what's happening. So I find that that almost always brings about realizations and breakthrough moments where the client then can look at the heart of the matter. That almost whenever there's like some kind of emotion or something going on. So, how about you, Erin? Have you in your coaching asked a question that sparks like a breakthrough or causes your client to go deeper in their journey?
I can't think of like a specific question off the top of my head, but I will get there hopefully. What I can think of is just like when I do sit as the coach in the appointment in as much, curiosity as I can, and I'm really listening to what they're saying, and I ask a follow-up question that really shines a light on what they said to grow their awareness in what's going on for them. As a collaborator in the coaching appointment, and as someone who likes to brainstorm ideas together with the client in terms of what might work for them, I do like to use more of those kind of positive questions, examining one's life. How do you like what you're doing right now? Or what do you like about what you're doing right now? Or who you are? So, really drawing on some of those positive aspects, trying to bring those more into their life so they have more of that and more of that meaning and purpose. So that's another question that comes up quite a bit when I am in a coaching appointment. And then, I try to think about in grief and loss, what question did somebody ask me that really made a difference in my life? And the one that I've said in a podcast in the past is the one that comes to mind again. And that's a former work mentor who said, she said, have you heard of this type of therapy? And that really lessens the heaviness of trying to think of what type of support to access. And some people might say, well, isn't that just a roundabout way? Shouldn't you be direct into saying you may need this therapy? But that's not who she is, and not who she was when she was asking that question. She wasn't saying I needed that therapy. She's curious if I've heard of that specific therapy and how it could potentially relate to grief. And I thought that was really powerful. So that really, speaks to how impactful questions can be outside of a coaching appointment. Just as you had mentioned, LaShawn, with your mentor and here with the person at my work, big differences in how I have lived my life and shifted because of one question. It's just amazing. So yeah,
Yes.
what about you?
So what I was thinking while you were talking, when I asked you that question about like a question that you may have asked your client that led to a breakthrough moment, and one of the things that really came up for me is the process of coaching. I don't think that it's one question like, oh, this is a go-to question. Like, here's a li laundry list of questions to ask your clients. I think that we both, and in the case of your colleague and friend who was curious and connected with you and listening to you and was then able to ask a question that was really going to change your life. I think that it really has to do with being present with your client or your friend or whoever, listening. And I think when you listen and you are curious and you're in a space of discovery or wanting to connect, wanting to understand, wanting to know more, that's when powerful questions arise. I don't think there's like one go-to question that works. I really do think that often when there is powerful, life-changing, course correcting, changing questions in any kind of exchange, whether it's in coaching or whether you're talking to a friend or a loved one, it really has to do with connection and it really has to do with the process. So, Erin, can you talk more about your practice as a coach and how you come into a coaching space ready to be curious and to be open to those powerful questions that arise from being connected and being present with your client?
I love that you made that point, LaShawn, and you said it so well, right? It's part of the process and it's the connection. So the connection you have with the client and that the client trusts you is part of that process. And so it's how do I build that trust? And it's through what you also highlighted, effective listening, right? So I think that in itself is kind of the root is how am I listening to this individual who's showing up in my space in a very different way than somebody else, right? Recognizing how important it is that everybody has very individualized experiences in their life that, yes, do have common themes. Yes, do relate to a lot of the different theories and frameworks in my training background, whether that's on listening or asking questions or on motivational interviewing or how people make change or on my grief side, the educational materials that I can bring to the coaching appointment about grief and its impacts and how we honor our grief as well. So I hold all those frameworks loosely that I've been trained in and you know, they have provided a lot of help in helping me help clients navigate the kind of in-between is what I like to call it, or the nuance of it, of their experience to go deep with the questions that I ask the client. And that goes directly back to that root of listening. And I think when you listen well, that connection just starts to foster. And I do think, you know, certain people, professional coaches and clients, sometimes may be mismatched, right? For whatever reason. And so recognizing what's working, what's not working, being transparent with the client in that conversation, and being okay with letting go of things and, helping clients find what's going to work best for them. So it's kind of like this as a coach, I have to hold loosely, right? Because I have to be able to let go of things and let go of assumptions while holding loosely also and keeping in mind all my professional training. So that's kind of like the internal process that I'm going through in a way. And then there's the external coaching process of the individual maybe going through a somewhat of a coaching framework where, you know, they're starting to grapple with the changes they want to make. And then we're working on goal setting or we're working on making changes in one's life in a very intentional and authentic way to the client. So it's a lot of energy work when I think about it and everything that I was just kind of stating out loud between what's going on internally and, you know, my mind and my heart and what I'm offering the client and holding space for. And what's going on in our external conversation with the changes they're wanting to make. What would you say, LaShawn, and what would you add?
I would say that it's definitely energy work. And I think that it's really important as coaches to be taking care of ourselves as well so that we can be present with our clients. I think that's really an important piece of coaching as well, is being in a space where you can hold that space for your client and be present and be in a state of neutral. Because as you said, like there are, you're connecting with your client and you're giving them that space to explore and to grow. And I think in order to do that as a coach, it's really important to be to hold like a neutral objective stance when you're with your client. So you don't want to get too involved in what they're going through, but you don't want to be too detached that you're not really connecting with the nuances and the different things going on. And one of the things that came up when you said the, I can't remember what you said about, I think it was the in-between, or I was thinking, you know, one of the things as coaches, part of our training is listening to what is said and listening to what is not said. And I want to just talk a little bit about that really powerful place in coaching that is so important as a coach to be aware of, is that what is not being said. I will use an example. I was working with a peer coach and he was talking about being prepared for a speech that he had to give. And he had done everything. He was really practicing and all of these things. And he was saying all the things that he had done. And I asked him, I said, yeah, you know, it sounds like you've been really thorough. And I said, what hasn't been done? Because he was focusing so much on what he had done, but he couldn't really get the results that he wanted. He was still super nervous and didn't know that he could really get through the speech. And that was a really powerful moment for him, because when I asked him, what hasn't been done? What haven't you done? He realized what he needed to do in order to get ready for this speech that he had to do in that question. And really, that was just me being with him, connected with him, holding space for him, and just being curious. Okay, so what haven't you done? Because you've talked about what you've done, but what haven't you done? And that really helped him. So talking about that in between, Erin, can you say more about that and, you know, the power of that?
Oh, I think your story speaks to that so well. So thank you for providing that, because I think it really explains the in-between in a way of like what is not being said and how we're listening for that, and what they not even what they are leaving out, even unintentionally, right? Mm-hmm. It's not an intentional thing necessarily. So I think that's a piece of it. I think it's also in coaching, I fully believe coaching is so powerful and so empowering. So when I think of the in-between, I often also think of the in-between space of the client where thoughts and feelings kind of come together, but something else potentially comes together too, whether that's a certain spiritual belief system or something energy-wise, something much larger than ourselves. And that kind of helps them kind of, I said root, you know, for listening, but helps them root into their being in a way that they didn't know about themselves, but they did know, right? It's so paradoxical when I think of the in-between. It's really helping them understand who are they at the core of their being. And I love being work. And one of the coaching frameworks I was trained in was this learn, be, do model, where you help the client really focus on questions and you know, help them focus on by asking these types of questions, what they're learning about themselves and who they're being. So you're focusing mostly on learning and being, and then, you know, maybe get into some doing questions, some action steps later on, whether that's later on in the appointment or after multiple appointments, but helping them tap into that being piece. And that's a piece that they don't get to explore, right, in traditional schooling very much, or in the workplace very much, maybe in some spiritual places, but not many or not very many. And so really helping to hold space for that in between of like who they currently are and who they will become by exploring that being. So I think of it as being, I think of it as paradox. A little bit of mysticism in there. So it's kind of like a whole pot of things that we just stir around, I guess, to get to this space of understanding and contentment. And I think that's what it brings. I think when we can interrogate the in-between space and lean into it, I think that's where contentment shows up.
Yeah, I definitely see that. And another thing that really resonated with me when you were talking about the being, and one of the things that I, this, you know, just part of my philosophy and also what I do as a positive intelligence coach, is how important it is to practice at this. That when you go into a coaching session, there are so many powerful things that can happen in a coaching session, especially if you are open to change, or you're open to new things, you're opening to developing more or seeing things from a different perspective, co-creating with your coach. But I think it's also really important to practice at whatever realization you have, you come out of it and you practice that. So when you were talking about the being, the contentment, that beautiful part of the in-between, which I love your term there, the in-between. It's so, because it really, because you articulated it so well when you said where your client is and where your client, wants to be, that in-between, that being, which is the in-between, which I think is the most powerful place to play when you are working with your client, or your, even if you're with your friend or you're with a loved one. But if we're really talking about coaching and the art of coaching and, the benefits of coaching, so bringing that beingness, and we've talked about this too in previous episodes, but that beingness is so important for our clients and ourselves as humans to practice. When we shine a light on that and we feel the benefits, the well-being that's part of being, and the essence of ourselves that's in that, how does one take that realization and what they're learning in the coaching space and take it into their own life? That's one question that I have in terms of the way that we can extend or maximize what we get out of coaching, taking it out of the coaching space and applying it to life, because it's very easy to go back to your status quo because you're practiced at it. That's why it's a status quo. So shifting your status quo to something else, shifting it to a higher, more aligned status quo that is aligned with your beingness and your values and who you really are. How do you do that when your status quo has a lot to do with doing and producing? That's a question that I often ask myself and my clients. How can you apply this to your life? Any thoughts on that, Erin?
Oh, that's so tricky in a lot of ways because making change is so hard. And we've talked
Yes.
about, the micro changes in previous episodes and change in general, I think in previous episodes as well. And again, it'll be very individualized in how this happens. But I think one of the things I always go back to is scaffolding. In my training as a teacher, like you scaffold your lesson plans, like kind of building blocks. And I always take that then to what I've learned in coaching to then like bring that down to the most basic level so that you cannot fail at it really. So you're tying it to something you're already doing in your day and you're starting really small. So, that might be with your morning cup of coffee, when you take one sip, you just say thank you if you're wanting to express gratitude more. And that's it. And do that multiple times until the pattern of behavior starts to repeat itself. And then you keep building from there. I am in your positive intelligence right now. It's awesome. And I love that the app is a place for accountability, right? Because I get to record what I'm doing on the app. And it tells me, how far along I am with my progress with some of these mindfulness strategies. And so I think having accountability also helps, right? With the so whether that's meeting with your coach more regularly at the beginning, maybe having a friend that you text frequently about your progress, or checking in with your progress in a journal by writing in a journal about it. Or, doing the positive intelligence, all of those things I think can be helpful. And it just depends on the person, kind of what clicks. And it's trial and error too. Like it's never a smooth process. At least I've never met somebody who can start implementing a significant goal and it just happens. Like there is a lot of leaning into the project, just, being fearless and just doing the work and then having it settle in. I love, the idea of your question at the beginning on what are you afraid of? Because when we can be fearless about trying new things, we can be okay with our failures as well. So there's a lot there. And I know there's so much more in how, neuroscience and psychologists and, sociologists, like a lot of people think about this. And I know it's very complex. So I'll bounce it back to you, LaShawn, so you can add in and help me nuance this a little bit further on how we can help people make these changes.
But I love that you talk about starting small making it so that you can succeed. Small wins are really important, especially when you're changing. And change is not, it doesn't come easy, especially if you are practiced at a certain way of being. And if you then become aware of like a deeper level of a desire that you may not have been aware of, and then you in a coaching session unearth this desire, like let's say you used to dance when you were little, and then you're having a coaching session and you realize that you love how you felt when you danced and you want to bring that back into your life, but it's very difficult to do that. Being aware of something that you want to change, but it happens to be a very big change, and also being committed to doing little things, like you said with the coffee and saying thank you. So maybe you can go to, what is it about dance that I love that made me feel good that I can recreate in my life now as it is without changing anything too drastically? So maybe you start out with maybe listening to music in the morning, something that's really easy for you to do. Like you were saying, being attuned to what you have discovered in coaching and honoring that in your life is a way of telling yourself, this matters. This is important to me. I'm going to bring it into my life, but I'm going to do it in a way that allows me to have these small wins. Because if you do things in increments and you do them consistently, which is so important, and that goes back to the positive intelligence and the mental fitness training, it's about being consistent. It's about making a habit of it. And in order to do that, we need to add it in little increments. And it also helps to it's James Fear or Clear.
James Clear.
Yeah, James Clear, the one who does Atomic Habits. He talks
yes.
about how you stack your habits. So for example, let's say it goes back to the coffee. So you drink coffee every morning, right? So if you add a new habit with that habit that you already have, then you're more likely to succeed at implementing that habit. Habit stacking is really good too. So for example, with the coffee, you include gratitude, a practice of gratitude with your cup of coffee. Like you said, you say thank you for the coffee. And then you do that every day while you're already doing the coffee every day. That's part of your habit. But adding another habit also can help with really solidifying that new habit. And you'll find over time that it becomes natural and you start to reap the benefits of that new habit because you're shifting slowly to aligning yourself with your values and you're aligning yourself with your well-being little by little. The other thing that I want to say that's really important is be gentle with yourself. If you have this habit of drinking your coffee and you want to add this other habit of saying thank you and you miss it, that's okay. You know, you have time. Often we think we're out of time, but we do. We have time. We have time to add the things that matter to us. And we have time to, as I think, Erin, you said in an episode, fail forward or to stumble, to be messy. That's okay. That's part of the process. So be gentle with yourself and kind as you implement these changes.
I love what you said about time when it comes to making changes. That is so true. We often feel when we're starting a new habit that it has to happen right away. I think one of the biggest shifts in my habit formation was when I picked back up with running a couple years ago. I didn't even meet my running goal until like 2 years later, but I met my running habit every few days, a few times a week. And that's the difference too, is untangling kind of that habit from the larger goal and you know, noticing that while it may not be working all the time, it is making progress toward something bigger. And I didn't even know what that something bigger would even feel like or look like, right? When I started out, I just had this number in mind. And so trusting the process, like we've talked about earlier in the podcast, can be really helpful. And then sometimes maybe it's not the time to make a big change, but I do believe that there is always time to make a small change, or like the habit stacking that you talked about. So even if it's a small habit not working toward a specific goal, why not add that in? You know, that could potentially help. Maybe it's a mantra or a statement that you tell yourself before you go to bed or in the morning or that sort of thing. So there's a lot there when it comes to personal development. That's why coaching is so cool, because people get to really get to the big topics of their lives and find ways that they can create change in their lives that works for them. And it's the type of change that they want. It's the timing is right and the need is right as well. So on the topic of coaching, I guess maybe we can go back to where we started from as we wrap up things in the podcast and think about questions to leave our listeners with, as well as for us to maybe continue to grapple with. And one of the questions that I have actually a question about, LaShawn, is this question of what do you like about yourself? So some people say that question can be really helpful in understanding what people really do like about themselves and what they understand about their strengths within themselves and those sorts of things. And other people are like, that question can be really hard depending on, right, the client. And so they kind of modify the question, you know, what's a friend said that they like about you, or what's a family member complimented you on, or those sorts of things. Have you noticed any preference in that type of question? Do people tend to lean toward external validation versus internal?
I find that people who are very self-critical, it's easier for them to talk about what their friends are saying about them, whereas people who are less self-critical are able to talk about what they like about themselves. I do find that there's a lot of resistance around that regardless, whether you're really self-critical or not. I don't know if it's because of our culture, or there's like a sense that if you say anything that's good about you or yourself, that it's somehow selfish or self-centered. And so there is resistance on both sides, but I do find that people who have a tendency to look outwards towards other people and easily talk about what's wonderful about their friend or their loved one find it very difficult to talk about themselves. And they often say, well, they get very disoriented if I ask that question. But I do find that I say, well, just imagine that. What would your friends say? Or maybe ask one of your really close friends, you know, what they think is what are your strengths? What do they like about you? And even that can be kind of uncomfortable for them as well. Often it also helps to say, so let's say you're your own best friend. How would you describe yourself to another friend? Hey, you know, there's this person I know and she's this. I really think you get along with her because of this. Something like that. So there are many different ways of helping your client be comfortable with talking about themselves and being 10% uncomfortable with this activity, where there's a, like you said, scaffolding, where you have that scaffolding. And I like the idea of talking about what your friends think or what you like. But I like that question. That's a great question.
Yeah, I like how you frame that, how you use it in an appointment. And I do like it as a question, because I just, from observations, and I don't know how true this is in other parts of the world or with other people, but it seems like people can be quick to say things they don't like about someone else or other groups of people or whatever, right? But they maybe haven't been exposed, like you said, to this idea of saying the likeness about things. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until I just had this aha moment. It wasn't until I was working after graduate school, after a few other career jobs, that I was introduced to this idea of a strengths-based system, and that, you know, you take your strengths assessment, you better understand your strengths, and people really celebrate those and believe in those in you. And I couldn't believe it took me that long to kind of get to that space, and that there's actually frameworks for this sort of thing. But just thinking about, like, you know, just to our general listener, like, there are innate strengths in you, in everyone, that are positive and contribute kindly to the world. So how do you bring those out, you know, in your everyday life outside of a coaching appointment? Not to get too, like, moralistic, I guess, but also just, I had this moment where I was sitting here as I was talking, I'm like, wow, It was a long time before I even learned about a strengths-based approach. So.
Yeah. Likewise, I didn't learn about strengths-based assessments and looking at your strengths until I was working with this particular coach. And it was, yeah, late in life. So yeah. It's very interesting how that kind of comes up later in your journey. But it's a game changer. When you're able to anchor yourself to your strengths, you can then build from that. I have these strengths. I have this foundation. I can absolutely add to this. Whereas opposed to just kind of not really knowing, but when you really can say, oh, I'm really good at connecting people. I'm really good at this. I'm really good at this. I know these strengths and I can build on them. So having that foundation is so important. So Erin, we're very close to the end here with the coaching nugget. Do you have one in mind, or would you like me to go ahead and share mine?
Feel free to go ahead and share yours.
Okay. Well, my coaching nugget, I want to just kind of take from what Erin said about where do you see love showing up in your life? Where do you see a call for something different? Gently look at your life and see where are there parts of yourself or areas of your life that are calling for something different?
I love that. And I guess to add to that piece on calling and kind of sticking with this strengths-based approach while also offering kindness to the world, my question is, where is goodness showing up for you and, within you? And how do you offer that to the world?
Thanks for joining us for Coaching as Benevolence. I'm LaShawn with Meychelle Sage Place, Positive Intelligence Coaching.
And I'm Erin with Roots and Wings, Grief and Loss Coaching.
Have a benevolent day.